Hey guys, welcome back to the DM. On today's episode, we have a very special guest, Allison Brooks. So my first question is, how did you get your start and what led you to styling?
Ooh, I like that. Yes. I feel like how I got my start, like I just came out of the womb wanting to be stylish and chic and fun. And, you know, as a little girl, I wasn't really interested in playing with Barbies at all, like that, but I wanted to dress people. So my mom would come home from work and all the little neighborhood kids would have like her gowns and her jewels and be playing in the streets, and I would get in trouble all the time. And that was like about 8, and then about 12. Yeah, I think it was about 12 and getting Vogue and having, my mom was an amazing seamstress. And so I would have her make me costumes and, or, you know, pick out the looks. I was like, I need to have that look. And then also I was one of those kids that after school, we'd like all meet with my girlfriends and they would be studying. And I'm like, okay, let's figure out what your look is tomorrow. Like that was my focus. And I felt like that was also like my power, or where I source my power from, because I'm dyslexic. And so I'm very visually, that's where I my strong suit is visual, you know? And so I just leaned into the creativity because that's where I would shine, and everyone else would, you know, shine over here or over there. And then I started pursuing acting. And it wasn't until I was in one of those acting schools in LA that a couple of my friends would be going for auditions. One said, hey, you know, will you help me dress for this part today? And I was like, oh yeah, because it was just like fun for me. So yeah. So then I just gradually started doing that. And then they're like, hey, they want to pay for you to dress me. I'm like, what? I can do this in my sleep. So that's how it kind of like slowly manifests itself. I mean, I still kind of pursued acting for a while and went back and forth. But I would come to that point of like, there's so much that I learned at being a shop girl. But I was like, what do you want me to do, universe? Like, what's up? Because I'm pursuing this, but I keep getting jobs over there. And then as I got older, I just started to lean into it more. And here I am.
And that segues right into my question, which was, I wanted to know, are you the first in your family to foray into fashion? I know you mentioned your mother is a seamstress. So where does fashion, as far as your parents or maybe even grandparents, do they have any drive in that field as well?
Well, it's actually, my mom was a nurse when I was growing up, but she would hand make everything and refurbish the furniture. My grandmother actually made her own patterns and tried to teach me. I don't know why it didn't stick, but I guess I'm more of a creative director. It's just like, I know what I want and then you people help me facilitate it. But my dad, when I was growing up, was the equipment manager for the San Diego Chargers. And he's instrumental and was just last year, he's passed now, but the Football Hall of Fame. He was honored there because he was instrumental in the face mask, because back in the late 70s, they were only gray. And he worked with a dentist to get the materials to get colored face masks. So that's how we have colored face masks. Wow. And then he designed the lightning bolt on the Chargers equipment pants. So I thought that was, I know in what, one year I was doing a Super Bowl commercial. I think it was like Coors, and it had all these old football players, and I was dressing them, and they were like, wait, little lady, how do you know about shoulder pads? And I was like, oh, my dad's Doc Brooks. And they were like, well, how do we know him? And like, my dad was so impressed that, you know, because as a young kid, I would go after school and hang out and so supposedly helping with laundry and do that. But I would just like take the t-shirts and recut them and hang out. And my brother, Brett, he was the men and women's buyer at Fred Siegel, but Ron Herman part. So back in the day. So I would always fill in too if I got a part and then come back and then like work in the store. So yeah, he exposed me to like he was the first ones to bring, was it Margiela and Rodarte and stuff into the store in the US. So I got like exposed to some high end designers through him too. So we were all very, you know, and then I have one brother that's like a store manager. Like so they kind of Mm-hmm. Fashion family without, you know, being fashion.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's so cool. And also in styling, you also do costume design. So we wanted to know, do you have a preference between styling or costume design?
No, they're both so different to me, or like the process and what you get out. I mean, I love it, especially studying as an actress. I love to like get a script and break it down and know about the characters and the many levels. One film I did, Other People's Children, with Chad Michael Murray, and he's supposed to be homeless, but this art girl who's going through, her dad dies and she meets him and they fall in love. So he has to be a little bit where, is he a hipster or is he homeless? You know, so it's like this. And I thought that was such an interesting process to define. And I did a lot of work or research going to the streets, looking at different levels of people on the streets and unhoused people, and spoke with some. And so that's the process of costume design. It's like you get really deep into the characters and get to play around. And I love color. Like in the same film, when we first see her, her dad just passed away. So I have her in grays and she's kind of layered. And slowly as the film comes off, each time there's a different layer missing. And then by the end, she's like in this pale yellow kind of, but it's like a very delicate story. But that was like my arc of how she reclaimed herself. So that's why I think that's a whole different process to me than a red carpet.
Definitely. And just even in that you've worked in both costume design and styling, you've worked everywhere like New York, South Africa, Argentina. How does your locale influence your creative choices when doing either costume design or styling?
Our styling, yeah, because most of the travel ones, when I was doing more ad campaigns, and they always hook you up with a local stylist. They can help you. So I have like a local assistant that knows all the shops, knows everywhere to go. And I find them so helpful and like such go-getters and go above and beyond. You know, when you're in a different country, they're just so grateful for you to be there that it was wonderful. I met so many interesting people and different works of like craftsmanship and how they bring their together. Sorry, my brain.
Out of your travels, I'm just kind of tacking this one on, but out of your travels, is there a favorite country or city that you've worked in that you had the most
You know, I really love South Africa. I did Cape Town about 3 times and I just found it just wonderful and amazing. And you can do all the tours. And we went down to the townships and fed children and talked, and just the whole, you're out of your element and you get to just experience life on a real level. So I love South Africa. I'm like a Vancouver girl too. I mean, yeah. Oh, Hawaii, I shot. Barcelona, you know, yeah. I like to travel. And I do. I love the whole experience. Like, I immerse myself. And like I said, like, I mean, I'm so fortunate that they hook me up with a local. So I get to experience it from that point of view, too.
Nice. So of your projects, I know it's hard to pick one, but what is one or several of your favorite projects that you have worked on?
I know. You know what? That was so funny that you asked this, because I was going to think of it, because that's a hard one, because they're all my babies. You know, you can't pick your favorite child. But I do. I remember this one moment of, it was Jonathan's Emmy dress, and it was actually designed by Christian Siriano. And I remember I played around with the hemming, and we just redid a little bit of stuff, but I just love that moment. And then it got to be in the Crown to Couture. It was in London at Kensington Palace. They did a display of gowns, and my gown was there, and that was one of the most incredible experiences of my life.
So this next question is one of my favorites. We are big fans of Jonathan Van Ness, and he is a longtime client of yours. We were just curious if you could tell us how you two met.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of those things that you just never think about, but I had a good friend that was Margaret Cho's stylist for the Fashion Police. And they were out of town. And he said, could you cover me for the month of May or whatever it was? Or maybe it was three. I think I did her about five times. But anyway, because of Fashion Police. And could you cover? And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And they shot like 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And I was setting up. And all of a sudden, this one energy comes in the room. It's like, and John, it was Jonathan, and he was Margaret Cho's hairdresser at the time for the show. And I just thought, the most delicious human being, the energy was like on fire at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, where are you getting this from? And we just all clicked and we had fun. And, you know, and I love, like, he loved what I was doing with Margaret. He'd compliment me. And mm-hmm. then cut to when they got Queer Eye to do red carpet. They wanted to hook him up with a stylist, and my name was one of them. And he's like, I know her. And so then we talked, and we're supposed to be, you know, like a one-off or to do something. Yeah. And then we just really clicked.
That's wonderful. How long have you been working with him now? Is it like a decade?
I want to say maybe about 9 years. Yeah.
Okay, right at, yeah. Yeah. You're right there at almost 10 years. That's awesome.
I know.
We are also fans of the show of Queer Eye. So in continuation of that, how do you factor in working on like a reality show, or did you work with when they were on Queer Eye? How did that work out?
I didn't start the Jonathan's Wardrobe till maybe the second or third season, because the first season they had already filmed, then we met each other. Mm-hmm. And then most of the times I kind of just do a preset of, you know, they have 10 episodes. They'll have five, you know, changes with each episode. And then we'll like do initial fittings. I'm not there when they're shooting. We just, a lot of times, or every once in a while I would go to the shoots, but I wasn't on set. It was more of just presetting, but it depends on where they're shooting. So like we were in Washington, so they did like themes as they're shooting. And so I would have to like go, oh my God, let me get some red, white, and blue today. Get that, you know, cool. Things like that would be the fun challenges, is to like get it skewed a little bit of the energy of to like Vegas or Texas or wherever they're filming in.
How do you approach your different hands on how you are when it differs between red carpet styling and costume design for film or commercial? Like, what does that look like for you, of how you go about differences in that?
Yeah, for costume design, it's usually, you know, the first time I'll read the script, and for the first pack, just to get the idea of what's going on. Then the second one, I make notes. And then by the third, then I'll build out, you know, my references or my plan. So it's a little bit more technical in that aspect. As with, I'm doing a red carpet event, depends on, you know, what it's for, and that process could be theme leaning into it. If not, you know, if they're doing, and then like commercial styling is usually just, you know, getting the boards, getting the tear sheets, and, you know, going from there and trying to be more a collaborative experience when you have all these different people in charge of like the director, the producer, you want the client, you want to make everybody a little happy. So you geared my work a little different than if I'm just like doing a red carpet. A lot of times I kind of know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, I kind of feel like I want this energy today, or
I'm just curious. I'm adding on another question. I did that earlier. I hope it's okay. But I was curious, do you have a mentor that like sort of showed you the way of costume design, or did you throw yourself into it and learned as you went through working?
Yeah, I kind of learned as I went. I did assist a couple of people, and then, you know, I got really fortunate right away. And I was doing mostly commercials for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And I was assisting. And then one of the directors was like, I kind of want to try you on this one shoot. And then just start hiring me. And then the other director started hiring me. And they kind of just went in that direction.
I always wonder with the costume designers, just how do you learn how to do it? There's no manual, just like in style.
Right. So, I know. Yeah. And I did start in like a couple of friends, they're independent films. And they're like, well, you know, do the wardrobe on it. Will you style it? Then it was like a low budget, you know, gang movie. And then I did get fortunate because I had a couple assistants that did do work, but you know, and then I did, when I was a costume, I was assistant costume designer on a TV show. So I learned a lot from there too.
Very nice.
So how do you navigate fluidity, individuality, and personal freedom when you style today? Like, how do you navigate your style voice and then your client's voice and making something like amazing?
I usually take whoever, like I have a vision of what I want them to be or what direction I like to go them. But I'm not going to force you into something that I want and you don't want, because it reads, you can tell when someone's uncomfortable in their clothes and it feels like they're put up. I rather like take you to the next level and elevate you and have you feel amazing. Because I think that when you feel amazing, you look amazing.
Do you find that it's easier having fluidity now? And like,
oh, okay, back to that. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like initially too, it's like I grew up 3 brothers. I'm the only girl. I never saw gender in clothes. I was always stealing their, you know, Letterman jackets or, you know, hoodies and even their jeans and making paper bag waist or whatever I had. So I thought I never had this like a role, like men wear this and women wear that. I always mixed it in my own self. So I don't think clothes have a gender. I just feel like whatever makes sense at the moment and how you feel, that's what I'm all about.
Nice. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really lovely answer to a question like that.
And so then the last question is, what is next for Allie B?
What is next? The whole universe. Thinking about, you know, doing a jewelry line maybe, or even drop a little clothing collection, you know, nothing crazy. Of course, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be amazing. But, you know, I think about things like that too, like another element of styling or consulting firm or things like that. But
yeah, it sounds like the world is yours for 2026. And we were just wondering if you could tell our listeners where to find you online. Like, do you use Instagram? If you do, how are you using it to sort of like, do you use that as a tool to show the masses, you know, what's going on in your head as far as where you're going creatively?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I love that tool and it's great, but I don't use it as much as I probably could or should, or, you know, I don't know. I don't like to do shoulds on me, but yeah, I go through little spurts and some days I'm like, oh yeah, I want to post. I'm more of a story girl than I am. I have commitment issues in my feed for a lifetime. So I like to do a lot of stories, but yeah, you can find me on Instagram.
Today, guys, we had a special guest. We hope you enjoyed our chat with Allie B. She's one of our favorites. Thank you, Allie, again, for joining us on the DM.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.